Saints, this week we've come to week number 5, Church in Thyatira. So if we can read the Roman numerals. Roman numeral 1.
Amen. As a sign that the church of Thyatira prefigures the Roman Catholic Church, which was fully formed as their apostate church by the establishing of the universal papal system in the latter part of the 6th century.
Roman numeral 2.
The church in Thyatira tolerates the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. According to Revelation 2:24, the apostate church ceases to be meeting of Satan.
Roman numeral 4.
These days says the Son of God, he who had eyes like the flame of fire, and his feet are like shining bronze.
Roman numeral 5.
In Revelation 2:26-28, we have the Lord Christ, the one who will come.
Amen. So last week we fellowship on the church in Pergamos, which is the church which is married to the world. This week, week 5, is the church in Thyatira. It's the church which prefigures the Roman Catholic Church, and it's the church in apostasy. And Revelation 2, Revelation 2:20 says, "But I have something against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. She calls herself a prophetess and teaches, and leads my slaves astray to commit fornication and eat idol sacrifices."
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. So, some of the reasons are that it says that the church in Thyatira tolerates the woman Jezebel. Mm-hmm. And the speaking comes from the woman Jezebel and not from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we also see that the son of the Lord is considered as the son of Mary and not primarily the son of God. Mm-hmm. So in Revelation 2:17 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. To him who overcomes, to him I will give of the hidden manna, and to him I will give a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." Amen. So, and then thanks to the church, the Lord's recovery, right? Even though with all the darkness, we can fully experience the triune God, and the Lord has a way in us to soften our hearts. And 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have this prophetic word made more firm in us, to which you do well to give heed. Do well to give heed as a lamp shining in a dark place, and the morning star rises up in your heart.
Amen.
So, amen. So, this is how we bring God's kingdom to the earth. Praise the Lord. I hope you all can share.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe before we share, maybe some people might not be familiar with this portion of scripture, so maybe we could just read the verses very quickly, 18 through 29. And to the messenger of the church in Thyatira, write, "These things says the Son of God, he who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like shining bronze. I know your works, and love, and faith, and service, and your endurance, and that your last words are more than the first. But I have something against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, she who calls herself a prophetess, and teaches the Nephites to pray, committing fornication, and to eat idol sacrifices. And I give her time that she might repent, and she is not willing to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and those who commit adultery with her into a tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And her children I will kill with death, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches in her hearts and her hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. But I say to you, the rest is entire fire, as many as do not have this teaching, who have not known the beginnings of Satan, as they say, I put no other remnant upon you. Nevertheless, one of you have a bold pass until I come, and he will overcome, and he will teach my words until the end. To him I will give authority over the nations, and he will shepherd them with an iron rod, as vessels of pottery are broken in pieces. As I also have received from my father, and to him I will give the morning star. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
So, do we have 2 minutes? Anyway.
Yes, true.
Yeah, tell me when my time is. Amen. So, now we're the fourth church is the church in Thyatira.
Amen.
So now by this time the church has fully become apostate.
Right.
Apostate. So the church in Thyatira is the darkest time in church history. This is the dark time. So the promise to the overcomers is Christ as the bright morning star.
Amen.
So in the darkness is the progression from the teaching, from losing our first love, to progressing to the teachings of Balaam and the teachings of the Nicolaitans, to now the church, the apostate church, which this Thyatira prefigures the Catholic Church. He tolerates the woman Jezebel. So in the Catholic Church are taught the deep thing, the mystery,
right,
the deep things of Satan.
Right.
So the church in Thyatira began around the end of the, right before 600 AD. It will continue until the Lord returns. There are three other churches which we'll get into. They will also continue until the Lord returns.
Right.
They did not start at the same time. Objectively, we have a choice where we want to practice the church life. So we've chosen objectively the Lord's recovery. But subjectively, how about subjectively? How do we stay away from the deep things of Satan? And how do we? So we want to know the mystery of God, Christ.
Amen.
So the way we can do this is through the promise. So the promise is Christ as a bright and morning star.
Amen.
So I'll end with 2 Peter 1:19 says,
amen.
Right? We do well to give heed,
amen,
to the prophetic word,
right,
made more sure.
Right.
This means the Bible, the written word of the Bible.
Right.
We do well to give heed to the written word of the Bible. So we take heed to this word. That means we don't just read it and then let it go. We take heed to it. We hold on to it until something happens. Something must happen. So the first thing is that the Word becomes a shining lamp in us.
Amen.
A phosphorus in us.
Right. Yes.
In the dark time, there can be a phosphorus. There can be the shining of light.
Amen.
And then this shining light can become the morning. The Christ can become even stronger, the morning star.
Amen.
In us. And then He can become the day dawning in us.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This week, you know, each church gets more and more intense, right? So here, but I'm really encouraged that the Lord always comes in, represents Himself in a certain way, and He always sounds a call, and He always calls out for overcomers.
Amen.
And although we know that the Roman Catholic Church, we see in the book of Revelation, is referred to as a big harlot, right, mm-hmm. full of abominations, she actually has a wonderful appearance, and she is dressed with the same materials that the New Jerusalem is made of. Okay, so, but the only difference is that it's outward. Inside, it says that she is gilded with these things.
Right.
Whereas the New Jerusalem is solidly built with these things, right? But we also see that the Lord actually praises her for some aspects. He says, I know your works and love and faith and service and your endurance, and that your last works are more than the first. And then He says, I have something against you. But then He says, I gave her time to repent. So the Lord has always given us, always, everyone, time to repent. But she wouldn't repent, so I cast her into a bed. Right? Meaning a bed is like for sickness, for sleeping, you know, but it can't be changed. Mm-hmm. So just like Tom said, the church will continue until the Lord comes back. Mm-hmm. But even here, I really am rejoicing that the Lord still has His people in Thyatira. You know, Madame Guyon, Taller, Fenelon, you know, a lot of people have come out of the Roman Catholic Church.
Right?
Right? Right. It's not easy to overcome, but they nevertheless did, right?
Amen.
And He even tells them that he calls them to repent, and that He will give them, you know, the morning star and the iron rod, right, to shepherd the nations. So we see that there is a promise to everyone.
Amen.
Right? And in the time of the Old Testament, well, I guess someone else can talk about Elijah and Kings, but anyway, praise the name.
Amen. I think she just set up the ball for somebody. That's it. She just passed it.
Amen.
How many thoughts on Elijah?
Well, at first, this is interesting because Jezebel, okay, was in the time of Elijah, she persecuted, you know, the believers. But she calls herself a prophetess, right? So in 1 Kings 16, we see that she was persecuting, you know, the Jewish nations. And Elijah, who was a great prophet, we all know, even he became afraid of her, and he hid. And so the Lord went out and said to him, why are you hiding? You know, and then he said, why are you hiding? And he said, oh, you know, she's killed all the prophets. And I alone, you know, I'm here, poor little me. And then the Lord said to him, you know, I myself have saved 700 men who have not bowed down to Baal, right? And so we see that, so here we see that this is the same thing today. You know, Jezebel set out to kill Elijah. But there are still men who have not, you know, loved the deep things of Satan. So these are the deep things of Satan that the Lord does not have anything else to say. There are people that, you know, we know many genuine believers. So we need not get into the deep things of Satan. We just need to get into the things that God is calling us. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to come to the Bible. In the Roman Catholic Church, people listen to the preacher, right, to the priest, but most of them do not read the Bible. So Jezebel teaches. In other words, she teaches, not God. God is not speaking, but Jezebel is teaching. And we know that many were killed in the Inquisition. It was even from cruel to extreme. You know, not only, you know, in Spain, but in France, in Paris. I mean, all over the world, she has killed many believers. And even today, she's always persecuting the believers. So we need to hold fast to what we have. And we need to realize that God has his people. And anyway, get into the Word and listen to the Lord, not to the preacher per se.
You know, on one hand, today we are not in, praise the Lord, we are not in the church in Tyre. We are not in the Roman Catholic Church. But I think this speaking is still very relevant to us. Yes. You know, at least I think the Lord is always calling the overcomer.
Right.
And this overcomer, one of the... I have very simple burden. One of the reward for the overcomer is this morning star. And morning star only appear, you know, actually at the darkest time, you know. And today, even we are not in the church in Tyre, we need to see we are really in the darkest age. And how we can know what's God's heart desire is we really need to get into his word.
Amen.
You know, otherwise, we don't know actually what's the problem. You know, we today, we probably have friends. They're coming, they're living, they are meeting in the Catholic Church or other Christian group. And how do we consider this? Was it, probably it's okay, right? And we know, as Sister shared earlier, this Jezebel, right, is the Bible says he's a prophetess. And but in the church, there's only God who has the authority to speak. But in the Catholic Church, you will see from the history and even now today, you know, you will see, but always or very often, you will say, the church said.
Yeah.
You know, the church actually should take the position as a woman and should not speak. And the only one can speak is Christ.
Amen.
And a lot of things, you know, in the so called, among Christianity, a lot of practice actually is not according to the Bible.
Right.
And the only way we can tell, we can discern, is really we need to know the scripture. Mm-hmm. And then we will have the discernment what we should follow, what we should not. And otherwise, we will say, oh, when we, you know, as a recovered church, you know, we really need to have brethren love, right? We need to receive all the brothers and sisters in Christ. But we need to have discernment what is not correct, what is not, what is wrong. That's only we can really know the scripture.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. And yeah, this is very deep. This is very delicate. And I have a lot of experience with the Catholic and the Protestant and all of that. And one brother in New York, one of the elders, shared that he doesn't think that's exactly what he's saying about the Catholic persecutors. It's a type of the Catholic Protestant. It's just, and we have to look at this in a spiritual way. Because we all have, I think we all, my kids, my son, we all have friends who are Catholics. We're friends who are Protestant, Protestant church. So we have to be very careful with this. You know, we have to, because like Sister said, there are a lot of, the Bible says there are many in the Thyatira who overcame, right, who overcome. And they all, they know your words, they know your love, right? Now what the Lord is talking about here is deepest mystery of Satan is unrighteousness. Not only unrighteousness, but this witchcraft and all the things that sometimes, yes, the Catholic Church allowed. The Halloween, the Catholic Church changed their Halloween. Things like that, but it's not the people. It's not the brothers in the Catholic Church. I have family who are Catholic. I have family. It's not the people, it's not the brothers, the same inside Catholic. It's the system. It's a system, remember, it's a system. So we all have friends, we all have. Now, that doesn't mean that we all gonna, you know, because we are not, they are not with that, they don't have the truth. Many have the truth. Because there are many who overcome. Many. One brother was sharing about that. You know, that thing we think we are the only ones who have the truth. No, they're all the ones. The other ones who read the Bible. It's the unrighteousness. It's the evil things that we go into. You know, that there's a lot. Yeah, the Catholic Church, the prostitute, the whore who ride the bees. Yes. That is the system. The system is not the brothers and the sisters who are the things there. Now, not only that, I have experienced a lot. I have experienced a lot. I've been a Presbyterian. Right? Sometimes we say, no, the preacher, we shouldn't listen to the preacher. No. I went to visit many Protestant churches, many denominations, just to see how it is. Just to see. When I walk in, I'm just looking at the people, and this preacher is saying something. He's talking. And suddenly I'm crying. I'm just on the back. Listen to him. And I'm crying. And the Lord convicted me. So, see, I don't know how much experience what many women they have with these things. You know, but I have experienced this. When the Lord wants to speak, He can use anyone. He can even use Satan for His own convenience. So we have to be very careful in judging. You're not here to criticize. We're not here to judge. It's the system behind. Remember that. It's the system. We have a lot of brothers and sisters inside. So we love our brothers. We have to pray. So I wish they come with us. I wish they can see what we have seen. We have seen the vision. We have seen mystery. Right? But we have to work on these brothers. My son has a lot of friends. He loves his friends. Some of his friends, they say they are very nice. You know, they're very, very nice kids. So this is what we have. We have to pray for them to actually not to fall into this temptation, into the deepest things of Satan. Don't know that. That's what we have to pray for them. Amen. Instead of judging and criticizing. Amen. See, Brother Kyle was Buddhist. Now, which is the type of the Buddhist? It's like a discipline and a religion, right? But he overcame the Buddhism. I overcame Catholic Church. My kids overcame the Protestant Church. So this is that we have to be very careful. You see? That we have to overcome. The Lord is the one who overcomes inside of us. Amen.
I think it's important to, again, when we cover all these different churches in Revelation, to realize that the Bible is speaking not just to the church in general, but if you notice, in every single church, it starts speaking to what? To the messenger. Mm-hmm. Messenger singular. Mm-hmm. And we all want to be a messenger.
Right.
So the Lord is speaking to you. Amen. As a messenger.
Amen.
And if you look at, actually, in Revelation 1, at the end, the messenger is a shining star.
Amen.
Why do you need a star? It's because that night is here. And like our brother mentioned, we actually are probably approaching the darkest time
right, in human civilization. And it's very interesting. You know, we could always consider this in a very historical point of view, and I just bring up this one tiny little fact. You know, it's no wonder that human civilization went through a period of time called the Dark Ages, right? Yeah. We're all familiar with this. Yes. And one of the reason is because the Bible was locked up.
Right.
And so only a few, a select few, were able to read it, to try to understand it. But for the majority, it was not available. But, you know, we know the Reformation, of course, the timing was, you know, very sovereign, that it was through the printing press that the Bible now was masters, you know, the first book that was massively reproduced was the Bible.
Amen.
And through that, actually, the Lord used that. Right? The Lord uses technology for his move. But my real burden is actually along the line of all the other saints who have shared, is that we need to, what? Get into the prophetic word.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to know the word of God.
Yeah.
And I just want to reread what our brother had mentioned before, is that we have the prophetic word.
Amen.
Made more firm, to which you do well to give heed, as to a lamp shining in a dark place.
Amen.
Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
Amen.
That's 2 Peter 1:19. And related to that is also in Psalm 119:105.
Right.
Your word is a lamp to my feet.
Amen.
And a light to my path.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we might not be living in the so-called dark ages today, but if you and I, if we don't read the Word of God, if we don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, actually, intrinsically, you are in the dark ages.
Yeah.
You know? It's not just a period of time that happened in history. But what this Word is telling us is we need, right, the Word.
Amen.
Because the Word is the only thing that could give light, to shine, give us light to according to our path. Oh, so we really need to have a personal relationship with the Word, with the Word,
amen.
Right? So that we could eventually have the morning star rise up in our
hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I really enjoy this point. When man comes to the Word,
amen.
And when I read day 5 or day 6, this word came to me. It is not simply to read the Word. It is to enter into the Word and hear. Oh Lord, until, brothers and sisters, until something arrives within us. And this word is so shining. And Lord, this is not the attitude. When I come to the Word, many times I just go over the morning revival, read the Bible, but I didn't allow the morning star to arise in me. Oh Lord Jesus. So like a brother mentioned, historically the Bible was locked up. But today, although we can come to the Bible, but if we don't use the Holy Spirit, we don't allow the morning star to arise in us. Actually, in principle, the Bible is still locked up.
Right.
So when we come to the Word, we must, oh Lord, pray over the Word and take a heed. We must take a heed.
Yes.
And yet something arise in us.
Yes.
And also, you know, our church, every year our church has a burden to read the Word, read the Bible a year. But Lord, this year we must, it is really, oh Lord, it is a reminder to me. When you read the Bible, not just quickly, or like it is a task to complete the Bible a year. But Lord, when you come to the Word, Lord, allow the Word to nourish us, allow the Word to operate in us,
amen.
And show something, shine over us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so, you know, the Lord will come as the Son of as the Son of righteousness. But before that, he comes that's publicly, so he will show himself. But then before that, he comes as the morning star, right? And that's secretly, that's privately, right? To those overcomers, to those who are waiting on him. And I just really appreciate that, you know. You know, we need to be those who would really love the Lord's presence today. And, you know, if he's going to appear to us privately, then you know we need to have our own private and personal time with the Lord. You know, I was really touched that you know in Matthew 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins, right? He tells the foolish virgins, like, I don't know you. Right? Of course he knows who they are, right? But he says, I don't know you because they didn't spend the adequate time with the Lord. Amen. And so we really need to be those who spend adequate time with the Lord, right? To wait on him, to be in his presence. And I also really enjoy, you know, the matter of coming to the Word, right? That's one of the main ways we can spend time with the Lord. And that, you know, as all the brothers have shared, it's not, we don't just come to the Word just to, like, read it. You know, just to read, and then we read it, and then we just kind of finish, and then we just move on with our lives. But actually, we need to come to this Word in a living way, right? Like, this word is life. You know, actually, even this Word is actually just the Lord Himself, right? In John 1:1, right, it says that the Word is God. Amen. And then in 1:14, this word tabernacled among us, right? And so that's the Lord, right? So this, we're actually, when we come to the Word, we're coming to a living person.
Amen.
And so if we don't come to the Word in a living way, if we don't come in our spirit, then as you know, as Ben said, it's like we basically didn't really come to the Word at all, right? It's just kind of like letters to us. Right? It's like the Bible's still locked up. Right? So we really need to see that we're coming to the Lord Himself. We're spending time with the Lord. And if we really come to the Word in this way, then the Lord will shine on us, right? And we will have the morning star rising in our hearts.
Amen.
John 8:5, he said, and he who overcomes, and he who keeps my word until the end, to him I will give the authority over the nation, and to him I will give the morning star. So it's like, we can see, like, it's like, being an overcomer, you just need to keep his word until the end. But I feel like it is so tough, like, it's like every time when you get to a point where you need to make a decision, you just need to keep his word until the end. Every time you just need to choose him. But I feel like, you know, I'm just not faithful enough. Like, a lot of time I just not to choose him, you know. But then it was like, I just encouraged, like, it seems like the morning star is actually himself, right? So he will secretly give himself as the morning star to those who love him and those who watch and wait for him. And they may have the priority to taste the freshness of his presence at his coming by after a long absence. And this morning star will actually encourage us. So I appreciate that the morning star will actually encourage us to earnestly seek the Lord's presence and be watchful, so that we will be able to stand before him in the secret part of his coming, when he will come as thief. So may he continue to encourage us to keep coming to him to be faithful.
So some of you might know, I went to Catholic school for like 6 years, so I can speak a bit compassionate about it, or against them, but beyond my own personal rage and frustration, there's of course truth in why I should feel, or why we all kind of feel, that the Catholic Church is quite not doing, speaking on the Lord's behalf. I say it's not for vulgarity or humor, but quite literally, the Catholic Church is a whore, because they've managed to capitalize on our own fallen nature, whether it's our desire to do good, but our own inclination towards laziness, not actually knowing the Bible, but even their ability to guilt us into practically milking us dry and thinking that we can buy grace. I know that Dante's Inferno is not an actual holy text, but there was a circle of hell literally labeled for the Simonettes. They were the ones who sold the grace of God because they thought that, but for their own benefit, and they were telling people that you could get or achieve God's grace if you paid into it. But even if you take an economics class, they will tell you that money is not actually worth anything, even in our own world. So why would it be worth anything to God? It's creation of man. Nothing that man makes is worth anything in the grand scheme of things. But again, touching on what Brother said, it's not the people within it. The people within it only stay with it because they have a genuine love for the Lord. It's a structure of power that has the true devilish nature. It reckoned itself as the synagogue of Satan. Even the concept of priests and pastors, though it may sound all well and grand, the worship of saints and Mary, they have you worshiping people. The image of Christ, which, if you know the history of it, it's the image of the Son of a Pope, and even Michelangelo's painting of God touching Adam's finger, that white bearded man was a Pope himself. He has us worshiping people. We should never worship people. There's nothing inherently good about individual people. But when we build ourselves up as the church and we understand what the church is, that's not a building or a temple, but all of us collectively together, then, you know, it's the Lord's desire to have a counterpart. It's the Lord's desire to have a bride. Not a building, a brick and mortar and stuff, but a bride, a counterpart, something that's worthy of fitting Him.
Amen. I really enjoyed this week. And last week, you know, we read in a church in Patmos, right? And the Lord says, to whom overcomes, I will give him the hidden manna. So that's a special portion that we can enjoy. And this week, you know, to whom overcomes, I will give him the morning star. Again, this is in a private, it's in the Lord's presence that we can enjoy. So I really enjoy this. You know, every morning when I come to this work, He encouraged me. He is a morning star, rise up within my heart. This morning star is not waiting until He comes. This morning star we can experience every day. Yeah. Every day we come to His word, we enjoy His our hidden manna. We see Him face to face. Every morning we come to His word, He encouraging us. He is the morning star and clear up all the darkness in our life. Every day we face many things. And many things is so dark in our heart. Even, you know, whether it's your success or your failure, doesn't matter. It's nothing that we can write about. The only thing we come to Him, He is morning star in the darkness that we can enjoy Him. What an encouragement that, you know, all of us really need to spend a special time with the Lord until we really, truly, you know, experience this morning star in thorns and in our hearts.
So, I want to just go ahead and say, because this information is quite new to me still, ironically so, because I used to practice more so in the Protestant church, so, and I think it's very interesting how some of the churches kind of act as a Trojan horse, you know, because it's, you think you're praying to God, and you think it's normal to hear the preacher's sermon or the priest's sermon, you are more easily fallen under the guise that, oh, I'm doing right, you know? Right. Which is really tricky, especially since given that the Catholic Church is one of the oldest churches, along with the people who, like the Armenians, for example, when they were following the Byzantine Empire and worshiping God, it's really tricky because, you know, that pretty much established the foundation, you know, because it became a world religion. But sadly, as the brother and sisters have mentioned, it kind of sold out at that point, because I guess they fallen into the idea of being a man, of to assume power and to start manipulating people. But anyway, I just want to go ahead and talk about day 5 of Roman numeral 5. Day 5, yeah. So when he says, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will shepherd them with an iron rod. Yeah, that to me at first was very interesting, because I was thinking in terms of, like, wait, how can you can't shepherd now? I mean, Because if you really had authority over all the nations right now, then, you know, you'd kind of be the bad person, you'd be the Antichrist. You would fall into what some people are trying to do now, is just, you know, take over the world in their own personal benefit. But then it makes sense, because it's talking about the millennial kingdom. And that Christ will give us the same authority to all newcomers and people who are overcame.
Amen.
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 I was very touched by this message. Here we talk about a church that is apostate church, meaning that actually many practices are heathen practices. Probably some of you know that I went back to Taiwan for 2 weeks to visit my mom, because she was in a critical situation. And it's interesting that this is the first time I went back to visit my mom, but I did not go anywhere. I actually slept in the hospital for 10 days. But I saw many, many people, including, you know, friends from long time ago. And this friend, she was my she was my neighbor when I was young. And she brought me to this gospel camp when I was 13. So, you know, when I saw her, when she visited my mom, I said, oh, you know, I still remember the hymn that we sang in the gospel hymn. And I believe that I was saved because of that hymn. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, it was based on Matthew 6, I believe it was 6:19, talking about the birds and the lilies, you know, like, you know, God created everything, and who are we, you know, even lilies and birds, they are taken care of by God. And then she said, I remember that hymn. We actually need to sing that hymn every time we eat lunch. So that's how I remember that hymn. And then I was like, you know, this is such a great hymn, and, you know, I was so touched. But then you sing it every day, but you did not, you know, you were not touched at all. So, you know, like, again, I think we are not here to criticize our, you know, I actually appreciate that the salvation, you know, they brought it to me, you know, the gospel. But I think that, you know, here we really see that if we just pay attention to the religious system or the routine or the doctrine, we will not touch the Lord. Mm-hmm. It is really the living word that touches us. So we really need to pay attention. And here it says that the morning star is actually related to the Bible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, yes, there are many practices, but how do we know that if they are according to the Bible? So we really need to get into the Word so that we know, okay, this is God's heart's desire. And no matter what other people says about, you know, oh, you're wrong, you're right, we know that it's according to the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I also enjoyed this week in that, you know, this picture of the apostate church is really a strong warning to us. Mm-hmm. And I was just considering, you know, what happened. So the apostate church, they're actually the Catholic Church. Outwardly, they have all these things. Mm-hmm. They are the authoritative church. But inwardly, it's apostate, right? So that means it's actually against, it's 100% against what they claim that they are declaring. There's fornication, there's idolatry, there's everything against God that they are doing inwardly. And for this kind of the church, the Lord specifically said that in the beginning of verse 18, right, when he spoke to the messenger, he said, these things says the Son of God.
Amen.
he who has eyes like flames of fire, and his feet are like shining bronze.
Right.
And in verse 23 also says, her children I will kill, right? And all the church will know that I am he who searches the inward parts and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works.
Yes.
And we know that in the church in Pergamos, the Lord Jesus referred himself as the one who has a sharp two-edged sword. But for the church, the situation is that Thyatira, he's the one who's like in the flame of fire.
Right.
And we know this idea of the seven spirits, of the seven eyes, can be found throughout Revelation.
Amen.
The seven eyes are actually for searching, for observing, and specifically for judging us. This week, as I was considering, you know, there are certain parts within our being that we need, that needs to be judged by the Lord.
Amen.
We need to see Him as the Son of God.
Amen.
Not as anyone else, not as any other practices, not as, you know, but as this one who has the seven eyes that will judge us.
Amen.
And as we open to this one and His judging, you know, in this dark age, in dark situation, you know, He will become the morning star to us.
Amen.
So that despite, you know, what's going on outwardly, sometimes even within us, you know, as we open to the seven eyes and His shining, you know, actually, the seven eyes not only judges us, observes, it infuses His element into us. As the eyes, you know, you can find in the Bible, eyes denotes His person. As He's judging us, He infuses Himself into us.
Amen.
Of all that He is. And then gradually, as we also come to the Word, oh Lord, so many times we were judged by the Word, right? When we come to the Word, there are a lot of shining convictions. So as we experience Him as the one, to seven eyes, you know, we will really be saved and find Him as the morning star.
Amen.
You know, in this dark age, whatever dark situation that we are in. Amen.
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 I really enjoy the brother and sisters fellowship. Yeah, and in realizing, you know, we do came from a variety of background. So as the brother mentioned, you know, some brother were growing up studying in a Catholic school, and some brother like went from the Catholic school to Protestant church. Yeah, so all different background. And Brother Kyle maybe early from Buddhism, and I was raised up in a totally like you know non supernatural power, you know, purely just science and with Chinese tradition. But I came to know the Lord. So. And I also, you know, echo our brothers say, you know, as a brother sisters, you know, even though they are in the Catholic Church or other churches, we accept them as a brother sister, you know, not a system. We are accepting the brothers and sisters, and we together, we pursue the Lord Jesus Christ in a genuine way.
Mm-hmm.
And and secondly, I following our brother's fellowship is our God is not a loving God, but also a God is righteous, with a righteous. So He will intervene when He sees things not clean and not holy. So in that sense, we are fear of the Lord. So you know, when the Lord comes with in a fire, we all afraid. Because sometimes, you know, in our family life or personal life, sometimes everything's very, very smooth. Sunny, nice dinner, you know, everything peaceful, right? And some days it's not. it's rain, it's storm. You know, everybody is not right in one of the part. So yeah, that happens. But all to the end, if we turn to the Lord, and if we can stand, say whether the Lord comes as a fire, or Lord comes as a sword,
amen,
and then we are experience that. That's in the other sense. It's also very deep.
Amen.
It's like we really know our God, and we are really being bring to the depths of our faith. So yeah, personally, I don't like storm because I have enough storm in my life. But I always come to the Lord by faith, saying, "If the storm comes from the Lord, let me by faith take it, and by faith, may Lord turn to my cry in the deep night to the happiness in the early morning."
Amen.
So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, I like 2 Peter 1:19, and we have the prophetic word made more firm,
yes,
to which you do well to give heed as the lamp shining in a dark place,
amen,
until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And I would just like to read today's reading. Said, according to 2 Peter 1:19, the morning star is associated with the Bible.
Amen.
Peter tells us to take heed to the prophetic word.
Amen.
If we take heed to the word of prophecy, the day will dawn within us, and the morning star will arise in our hearts.
Amen.
To take heed to the prophetic word is to pay attention to the living word.
Amen.
It is not simple to read the word.
Amen.
It is to enter into the word until something arises within us.
Amen.
We may call this the dawn or the morning star.
Amen.
In 2 Peter 1:19, the term morning star in Greek is phosphorus, a light-bearing substance. A piece of phosphorus can shine in darkness. Christ is the real phosphorus shining in today's darkness. However, the word cannot shine over us until we take heed to it. We must take heed until something begins to shine within us. That shining will become the divine phosphorus in our heart. Then we will have the morning star. We will be like the wise men, and something from the heavens will shine over us. We must come to the sure word and open up our whole being to the word, our mouth, our eyes, our mind, our spirit, and our heart, until Christ, as the morning star, rises in us and shines over us.
Amen.
I'm very encouraged with this reading here today, because I see how important it is for us to really get into the word.
Yeah.
And as the brother said, it's not just to read the word, but we have to get into it until something happens.
Yeah.
You know, I have a tendency of you know, talking, I mean, to my kids, telling them to get into the words. I also encourage them to get into the word. I really read the word, but it's not like what the brother is saying here. I just read it and just say, you know, I read it.
Right.
But you don't get that speaking, that light, that, you know, you just read it for the day.
Right.
But, you know, I realize, I see here, I'm very, very encouraged to that we have to dwell in it, you know, because here is where God speaks to us. Here is where we have that intimate fellowship with the Lord. And also, you know, that as I was reading this, a portion in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. So we see how important, how vital the word is to us. So let us be encouraged to get into it so that God can shine in us as the morning star.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, one thing, you know, by the way, in Spanish, the word phosphorus means match. You know, when you light a fire.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Well, this was quite a week.
I was telling my wife when I was preparing, I was like, oh man, oh, yeah, I feel like a lot of times when I have to do the closing word, I get these really tough ones. And I'm like, oh Lord, you know? Lord Jesus, why Thyatira? Why can't I get another one? You know? Maybe the Lord's speaking to me, you know? I don't know. But, you know, as mentioned, you know, last week, right, we were on Pergamos. And Thyatira is really just a continuation of the situation here. I read this book quite a long time ago. It's called Pagan Christianity, and this isn't actually talking about anything regarding to the Roman Catholic Church. It's actually talking about more of like a traditional Protestant, whatever you would like to say, church. And it talks about a lot of the roots of a lot of the things in the system. And I would just like to read a couple of the titles here. And then we can see the Roman Catholic Church is just a continuation and a darker or more pinnacle step of this, of practices that a lot of times in Christian churches practice today. So one is the church building, right? So today in Christianity, a lot of times I'm going to go to the church. I'm talking about the building, but because it's ingrained in my head that the building is the church, but that's false, right? And the Roman Catholic Church took it to a whole other level. They got these beautiful steeples with, you know, paid millions of dollars to make this building, right? The order of worship, how we have to worship a very particular way. The sermon, how today, a lot of times in Christian churches, a sermon is given, and that's actually a very logical reason. In the book, it kind of goes into depths of why actually sermons are given in a very particular way. It's because of pagan traditions of how they used to like to speak. They used to like to do a lot of oracles, teachings, and things like this. The pastor, Sunday morning costume, so obviously, our dressing. You know, we dress respectfully. We're not here to, you know, sometimes we call it Sunday's best, right? Some people don't dress very nice the rest of the week and they just come to show off. We're not here in a tie to show off. We're not here with a suit to show off. But we're here out of respect for the Lord because of all that He's done for us, right? This is why we dress up. There's no dress code in the Bible, but we do dress out of respect. The music that has in music that is in the churches, even tithing and clergy, even baptism and the Lord's Supper. So that one you might think that's a little weird, but you know, a lot of places you have to be baptized, you have to like go through a class. Like my father, actually, when he became a Christian, he got saved, and then he was reading the Bible, and he realized that there's no class in the Bible, and he wanted to get baptized. He asked his friends, like, "Oh no, you have to go to this class for I think 6 weeks or something, and then you can get baptized." But actually, many times it was just you got saved and you got baptized immediately. It wasn't something that you had to like wait a period of time. And even the Lord's Supper, it talks a little bit about in the book that the Lord's Supper is something we enjoy. So actually, we have a feast. It's something we enjoy. It's not a somber, you know, only a somber moment. But we actually were praising the Lord, like this morning, right? We were happy and joyful that the Lord had died for us, right? And then there's some other things in here that we don't need to mention. But yeah, I was very touched. But so this is the beginning of it all. And then this week we're going into the continuation, and maybe even consider the full manifestation of a lot of these practices, right? The clergy, we still have the clergy in many churches, and we definitely have it in the papal system, right? You've got the Pope, cardinals, bishops, priests, nuns. I don't even know all the steps and how they go, but we have this, and you can see it very clearly in this system. And I know a lot of saints here, you know, we have many of the saints mentioned that, you know, it's not the system. I mean, it's not the people, but we have to be very firm in speaking this. You know, we can't just take it lightly and approach our friends in a political way. You know, it's our duty to really to talk to them, and even it's our duty to talk to ourselves to be reminded that if we give in a little bit, just a little bit. They just gave in a little bit. A lot of these things, they're not that bad, right? In our eyes, just adding a little leaven, it's not that bad of a thing. But look at what happens. It becomes the Roman Catholic Church. It becomes something so dark and so far from the truth, but it all started with just a little bit of something coming in. And this is something we, as a church in Piscataway, need to be, you know, weary of, and even protect ourselves of adding leaven, you know, into the church. Because we could also, you know, next thing, music, very simple. You know, what's wrong? A couple drums here, have some tambourines, all sorts of things. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says it, but we should be careful in how we conduct ourselves as the church. And our brother mentioned, you know, a pretty strong word that the Catholic Church is really a prostitute. Last week we saw that the church was married to the world, right? So this is a metaphor that was used in the speaking was, we see Christ in the church, right? There's a husband and a bride. And last week we kind of saw a situation that was already pretty bad, right? It's like a woman that leaves her husband, or maybe not leaves her husband, but is cheating on her husband, right? Is sleeping with somebody else, you know, but comes back to her husband, right? And this is kind of what a lot of the churches today in America are. They're married to the world. There's many worldly things in it, but they still are coming back. But the Catholic Church is a whole other level. It's not even close to God anymore. It's totally left. And just as a prostitute is one that totally leaves. They leave their husband for gain, for money. And in the Roman Catholic Church, we can see this very clearly. They're for gaining money, for building buildings, or gaining money for themselves, for these systems. They even have the Vatican itself is a governmental system. I think it's a country itself, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? It's its own country, and the Pope is the highest power in this system. And our brother mentioned also that even the papal system, whatever the Pope says is, if it's not in the Bible, and you don't know the answer, whatever the Pope says is the answer. This is something dark that man would say that they are the supreme authority on this earth. This is very dark. These are part of the things that are mentioned in the verse. The deep things of Satan. You know, many, many deep things. There's idols. There's the pictures that our brother mentioned. There's the candles. If you've been in a Catholic church, it's kind of creepy. It's quiet. One time I went in there, I just shouted to the Lord. I said, "Oh Lord Jesus!" And then I left because I don't know. It's a scary place. It really is. It's a scary place. But you know, such a word is really—it's a word to ourselves as well. It's not just to others, but we also need to realize that this darkness can creep into our own being. I like what our brother mentioned. You know, if we don't read the Word, we're in darkness. We're in the dark ages ourselves, and we really need to be ones that are not to continue to be in the Word. Maybe okay, if you skipped it for a couple of days, it's okay. Just go back into it. You know, and our sister said sometimes she falls into just reading. Hey, praise the Lord, she's reading the Bible. You know, maybe some days you're just reading it out of habit. But, you know, it'll come back to you maybe a couple of days later. You'll go, oh, man, I just read the last couple of days without really touching you, you know. But at least something is getting in. I guarantee you if you read the Word even in a very rudimental way, something will get into you, you know. Something is in your mind. The Lord will speak to you. Maybe you'll be going through a tough time, and the Word will be able to supply you in these times. So really, we just need to remember the verse that everyone was sharing, right? In 2 Peter. We need to just take this Word. Take it. This is the morning star will rise in our being. And so next week, we'll see that we'll start getting out of this utter darkness. We'll start getting a little bit of God's recovery coming back and the Reformation, right, next week. So we've reached the pinnacle. Hopefully we'll continue to see how the Lord is recovering in the next few churches throughout the next few weeks. But remember to just continue to read our Word and allow the Lord to rise in our hearts.
Amen.
And may He be a morning star to us.
Amen. It is said that we come to the church as Tara. So this week, there are 2 points we need to learn and we need to be reminded. One point is, all this is behind Satan's work. Amen. And Satan's work on Tara is by bringing the teaching. the teaching to bring in the mixture. As the church, we have to be guarded and we have to be very alert what kind of teaching that we are receiving. So this is one point. The second point is the position of the church. The church has to be stand on a position as a woman. And you have to realize what does it mean by woman. Woman means depends on man. And who is a man? Who is a real man? God. God in Christ in church should be the one that church depends on. Right. So in our experience for these 2 points, saints, what kind of teaching that you are receiving, you will become something else. Amen. Why we have to be on the morning revival? Why we have to be on the ministry message?
Amen.
You have to be clear.
Amen.
Because this is the teaching will lead us into God's heart's desire.
Amen.
For this reason, we have to fight.
Amen.
For this reason, you and I will have to endeavor into the Word.
Amen.
And of course, if we don't read the Word, we are in darkness. But even when you read the Word, that is not guaranteed you that you will be clear.
Amen.
It says very clear, you have to be wait. When you read the Word with the attitude that the morning star will rise up within you. Whether you have a morning star or not, it depends on your attitude treating the Word. If you read the Word in a manner of very rushed way, there will be no star. Because you don't give enough time for the star to rise up. I remember young people have a tree, right? Go to see the sun rise up from the horizon. You have to go there, right? At least half an hour earlier to wait with what? With the attitude. Getting closer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting closer. Yes! The light, the sun, rise!
Yeah.
I hope you understand what I'm trying to tell you. Without that kind of attitude, the world will become just a dead letter to us. But still, you have to read, saints.
Amen.
But you have to read with this kind of attitude.
Amen.
Then second, church as a woman, in our experience, you have to realize who is the authority. In a church life, who is the authority? God is the authority. But God cannot see. So who is the authority? The Spirit in us has the authority. So when you stand up to speak, you have to have the sense, Lord, I'm speaking with you. I'm not speaking by myself. So these 2 points, I hope we will grasp and we will fight. We will not fall into today's Christianity. Neither we are not part of today's Catholicism. We're not. But in experience, we may fall into the kind of situation. Okay? Outwardly, we have nothing to do with Catholic Church. But in experience, you might. If you are not careful to receive what kind of teaching you are receiving. May the Lord bring us such a heart.
Amen.
God in our heart.
Amen.
And we'll be alert.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the church.
Amen.
Thank you for the ministry.
Amen.
Thank you for the Bible, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for our spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, the Spirit in us.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
And the full knowledge of you, Lord.
Amen.
Enlighten us with the spirit, Lord.
Amen.
Enlighten us with your word.
Amen.
That we will not be deceived.
Amen.
Lord, we let us come every day to your word.
Amen.
The spirit, Lord.
Amen.
Keep more of you every day, Lord.
Amen.
Walk by your spirit, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you, Lord.
Amen.
Have mercy for all those when they don't see you yet, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, give us a heart to see you in your word.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we pray for all those who love you.
Amen.
And are in the system, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, your mercy is so grateful, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Thank you.
And we love your word.
Amen.
Help us to redeem time.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to take heed of your word.
Amen.
And open our whole being to your word.
Amen.
Take into your words.
Amen.
Digest your word.
Amen.
And let the morning star arise in our spirit.
Amen.
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 Oh, I'm sorry.